It's Thursday, December 11th, 2014. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other things. This is episode 91, and they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Runtime for this episode is about 53 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that is overrun with crime. Our undermanned and understaffed police force is overwhelmed, but they have an ally, Ed, who, with the faithful Robin, wages unending war on all criminals. My name is Jeremy.
I was going to do a Magic Knight's Ray Earth reference, but I can't top that. I'm Tyler.
I am the terror that flaps in the night. I'm Ed.
And I've got nothing once again, and my name is Zach.
How are you guys? How are you, Ed? You're back in Murica.
It's great to be back in the land of freedom. I'm really enjoying my time here.
Are you eating hot dogs and apple pies and shooting guns?
And bacon?
Yes, shooting bacon. Yes, and yes.
Shooting and bacon out of bacon?
That's what we found out while in Germany. They don't have proper bacon in Germany. They just serve pork belly. That's not bacon, guys. It's not bacon.
Bacon! It's bacon!
Thanks. Man, how long has it been since that commercial aired?
Oh, God. I think it was in the early 2000s, maybe even the 90s.
My God.
I saw a commercial like for one of those. You remember those Call Now and they had the blue screen and the phone number?
Oh, yeah.
I saw one of those 4 days ago. To buy the first season of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Wow. Like, what year is this?
We were stuck in a time warp at the time, but
the commercial came from the past.
On 6 DVDs.
Wait, what?
The first season of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is really long because they don't know how seasons work.
Ah, gotcha.
To be fair, they had like 15 minutes of chasing a baby in a stroller. They didn't know how editing worked either.
But at the end of the first season, they were foreshadowing the arrival of the White Ranger. They'd learn foreshadowing.
Congratulations.
Eventually, we got Power Rangers RPM, and Chekhov's
that
was great.
Flute.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. They learned, like, dramatic tension and how to make you feel sorry for characters, and had actors with actual chemistry.
And, like, lampshading.
Yeah, and terrible CGI that was terrible.
RPM is the one where they defeat people by using the explosion in their background, right?
One episode, yes.
Okay.
I don't understand why all the cars were also animals in that.
Because RPM has nothing to do with the source material, Angranger, where they are animals that have come from another dimension and take the form of cars in our dimension.
So they're kind of like Transformers. They need a disguise while in our plane of existence.
Sort of.
It seems like the best Power Rangers seasons are the ones that have nothing to do with the...
Yes, franchise. And they're always when the company is about to jump ship on Power Rangers.
Like in space.
Yeah, in space, RPM, and I want to say Jungle Fury is the one last... the one right before the ninja one.
I should really start listening to Ranger Danger.
Well, the problem with Ranger Danger is they're almost out of this, but they're in the stretch right now where it's right before Lord Zedd comes up, and every episode is just this terrible plotless thing where they're like, yeah, so the Power Rangers had a problem in school where they were trying to try out for a team for the third out of the last 4 episodes. Someone was trying out for a team and not good enough, and then they fought a monster and then they were good enough.
How were they not good enough? They fight crime with ninja skills.
Well, Tommy wants
basis.
To be the star quarterback, but he's never played football before.
Okay, I could see that being a problem.
But he's the Green Ranger, so of course.
But this was before they had civilian superpowers.
Yeah.
So he's just the guy that knows martial arts.
Yeah, but he's the best martial artist. He's, in real life, the guy who has the world record for most boards broken while in free fall.
That's a strange, but cool...
Is that a record that people keep?
Dude, have you seen the Guinness Book of Records?
He was like, how many? Okay, let's go. Let's do this. Hey-yah!
Is there any reason you couldn't just roundhouse kick a guy in football?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty sure there is.
It's against the rules. Pretty explicit.
Although this episode of Ranger Danger is great because they're Australian, but one of them is like legitimately a really big fan of American football, and he was struggling to explain it to his co-host, who knows nothing about any sports.
Wait, someone
that
out of America?
That sounds like when I start talking over here.
Someone outside of America likes American football?
It was
actually
weird.
A lot of people in Britain like it. That's why they're playing a crap ton of games. I think they're playing 3 games over there this year.
Yeah, there's actually a pretty big British fan base and some Canadians.
Huh.
There's actually been talks about putting a franchise in London, which I think would be a royal pain in the ass for everybody involved.
Somebody's going to get a super home field advantage with an 8-hour layover.
Yeah, right. That's the problem. At least right now when they send two teams over there, both teams have an 8-hour layover.
Well, we just need to incorporate the rest of the European Union. Force them as part of being in the European Union.
Oh, that's how we'll bail them out economically. This is why you don't have any money. You need some American football teams. People pay ridiculous amounts of money for this crap.
Gridiron, boys. Screw your soccer.
Lock off of Europe, leave it on the other side of the ocean. Screw them, and then no free refills.
Become isolationist. Become Japan circa whenever Japan was isolationist.
Or, you know, America circa the 1900s.
Yeah, when we had no money. All we had was dust.
We didn't actually move out of that isolationist period until right around the Cold War. We were pretty well like, we don't care what's going on in the world. We're America. F you.
Except that time we sent our blonde friend to punch Hitler in the face.
That's why I said right around after World War II, because we were weren't dragged kicking and screaming, but we did not jump in right away.
Well, America is sort of the, you know, fifth ranger of the world. Everyone's off doing their thing, and then the cool guy shows up right at the end to finish the fight.
So
and
what
we have the best theme song.
So what you're saying is the Battle of Normandy was actually us throwing a tuxedo mask rose into World War II.
Yes.
A tuxedo mask's the best with how useless he is and sometimes how useful he is. There's an episode where he just throws a rose into a monster's face and said monster is blinded for like 2 minutes. Ah, no, rose petals. Ah. So speaking of rose petals, what have you been playing, Ed?
I've been playing Weapon Shop de Omase.
That sounds cool.
It's on the 3DS.
I know what this is. Good, go on.
There was, many years ago, an evil lord. He was defeated, and after he was defeated...
But is he sealed on the moon in a dumpster under the Moon Kingdom? By the way, I'm writing a fanfic that's a Power Rangers Sailor Moon Dracula crossover, since they all have ties to the moon. Anyway, go on.
That sounds awesome. Does Dracula have a moon base?
Yes, canonically. As Chris Sims once said, this is a story where Dr. McNinja surfs a robot Dracula down to Earth, and it's only the second best story involving Dracula and a moon base.
Captain Britain and
yep,
the MI-13.
That's the first one, where Dracula has moon cannons to shoot vampires at Great Britain. It's amazing.
Until Captain Britain goes all, no more vampires.
Yeah, and that Islamic woman pulls out Excalibur and is like,
what? What is the plot of this comic?
Dracula wants to take out Britain.
I'm going to go with bad and call it a day.
It's so good. Dracula has moon cannons with vampires. It's amazing.
Are they like the man cannons in that one Halo map, except they shoot vampires?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you see, you have to understand that this takes place in Marvel's Britain, which is all kinds of magical, which is not something that happens nearly as much in American Marvel.
Anyway, Ed, Weapon Shop, Omigami no Jutsu.
Yeah, so after the Dark Lord was defeated, the market for weapons fell. So you have this brilliant plan to rent out weapons and have them brought back.
Oh, wait, so you're the shopkeeper in The Legend of Zelda Link Between
yes.
Worlds.
Yep.
Yes, you are. And people come in like, I need a weapon. It's a sword. And then you just go through your inventory of things you know how to make. You plop a giant hot of block of red-hot iron on the forge, and you tap it in time with the music to forge it into a weapon.
So it's a rhythm game with an awesome plot.
Ignoring how forging actually works, right?
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
Well, you do have to quench it and stick it in the fire.
You know, like most shooters, ignore how guns work.
I should also show you guys...
how eyes work and not being in the middle of your chest.
Well, you know, details. I should show you guys Jacksmith, which is a similar concept. You're making weapons for people to fight off the evil minions or something. But one of the things you can make is, like, a spiked mace. And you, in order to put the spikes on there, you basically, like, position them, and then you, like, pound them on with a hammer somehow, which I think would, like, negate the spikiness.
The other game I've been playing was the original Front Mission.
Oh, yeah, I like that game.
It's pretty good.
I'm not familiar with Front Mission, so.
Is that the one I borrowed from you?
That was Front Mission 3.
Okay.
This is the one on the Super Nintendo.
Okay. So it's, like, cyberpunky mechy?
It's pretty much.
So yeah. Explain it like I'm 5.
I haven't gotten real far into it, but you've got a squad of guys in mechs. They fight other people in mechs.
Sounds like a game I've been playing, but go on.
Like, you meet one, they have the opening cutscene where they've got little pictures with people talking, and they're like, that's your fiance. And she's like, hey, I'm spying on things. And they're like, something else. And you're like, I bet she's about to die. And then she dies.
She doesn't just get punched in the stomach and then thrown after some guy's shoulder.
She gets jumped by 5 different mechs. And it's one of those things like, I bet she's about to die, because you just said she's my fiance for no reason. And wow, died instantly.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure the girl in Double Dragon 2 dies too. They're just cording off the body to remove evidence.
That's a
never, ever characterize somebody because they are about to die.
Unless you want to save, you should save your name, though, because as soon as
I was going to say, that's the reverse, though. That's, they gain characterization and become too interesting to kill, right?
Yeah. Although she was made a character tangential to the main character, so. Front Mission's a fun game. You had to load out your mechs, and all your mechs have different ranged weapons. So you have to, like, arrange your mechs on a field in terms of how they'll be effective. Like, if you have a rocket launcher and that's all you have, you can't, like, shoot people from point-blank range because your rockets don't work that way. It's a fun game. I really liked it.
They work like LRMs from BattleTech.
Yeah, pretty much.
Minimum range.
You might actually like the original Front Mission. We may or may not play it for the podcast
eventually.
I played
the third one and did like it. Never beat it, but did like it.
Anything else, Ed?
Very little bit of mostly just looking at my computer, not able to play Star Citizen.
Sadness. We heard a little bit about that last week.
Yeah, my computer's weak enough that it can't play at minimum settings.
That's
so
sad. Although,
I need to get a new computer at some point.
It has a wish list on Newegg that's about as powerful as my computer and a lot cheaper, which is a little depressing.
Yeah, but it's 2 years later.
Oh, yeah,
that's how
true.
This works.
And the other game I was playing was Payday 2.
But what?
Why don't you guys get your Payday 2 talk out of the way so I can, like, take a administrative nap?
You should really play with us sometime.
My computer is not sufficiently powerful. My computer isn't powerful enough to run Payday on the minimum specs. It's actually powerful enough to run it. I just get such bad input lag that it's not worth playing.
And that game does not work well with input lag. I actually haven't played any Payday this last week, so.
And I played a little bit of it. Not a lot, but I mean, like I said, I got to 80.
Oh, I didn't remember you hearing you say that. That's cool.
I think I just mentioned to Ed that I could unlock
four skull missions
now.
And now that's all that appears on your contract menu.
Actually, most of mine are still.
Oh, really? Well,
fine.
Say, speaking of Payday, though, I watched John Wick this weekend.
Ah, you stole my transition.
Oh, well, I mean, it was the obvious transition.
No,
so.
But mine was going to be. So, Tyler, if you haven't been playing Payday 2, how have you gotten your fill of Bulldozer?
Well, I've been watching Keanu Reeves run around the screen shooting people, and actually two, like, kind of dubstep music in a nightclub.
Yeah,
so.
I've heard the music and the editing of the action. It was really, really good in that movie, but I haven't seen it.
I think my expectations were set a little high for it, but it was pretty good. So
why? Because Bulldozer!
No, it's actually, I had heard that this movie was, like, phenomenal, and it was a good movie. I wouldn't say it was a phenomenal movie.
Part of the problem is we haven't had an action movie with decent fight choreography in years, because we're all, shaky cam! If you can't tell what's going on, that means it's really cool!
The fight choreography in this was really good.
Yeah, and John Wick is like, John Woo, hey, let's choreograph a cool fight and show people some cool gunplay and some cool kung fu.
That's, he actually fires a gun like an actual person when he misses, which is, like, I mean,
no,
that
he,
happens.
No, he can't. He's the main character. Main characters don't miss when they shoot.
No, he's trained with a gun, and he occasionally misses. Because of that, though, he usually double taps people. It's something that I only noticed towards the end of the movie, but usually when he fires at someone, he'll fire at least 2 shots at that person, because occasionally his first shot will miss. He also double taps people in the head who he's already shot, so I'm not sure why he does that. Maybe it's just habit at that point.
My dog is dead!
So the plot of the movie is actually, like, somewhat heartrending to the beginning, which is amazing.
I've heard it's kind of, like, Up.
A little bit, yeah. No, it's got, like, this thing where he's like, my wife is awesome, and they're, like, doing stuff together, and then the movie begins with her dead. So, although, I don't know, the movie begins in a lot of weird ways. It's kind of like Pulp Fiction, in that the end of the movie kind of happens first.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth watching. I'm not sure that I would recommend going to the movie theater to see it, and maybe just waiting for it to actually, like, come out in more obtainable forms. But it's good. It's got a good soundtrack. It looked like Payday. There's definitely one part of it where Alex and I are like, well, I mean, he's got that, or he's wearing a sweater vest armor, so, and he's only carrying a pistol, so he's at, like, you know, a 20-30 concealment or something, depending on what skills he's got. And he's going, like, through the nightclub, and we're like, yeah, and then that guard totally spotted him, but it's okay, he got him out before he got there. And then he got to this one part and I'm like, oh man, that guard's gonna fire before it gets him down. I can tell from the look on his face. And then the guard totally fires, and the rest of the club is like, oh my god.
They all got the exclamation points above their head, and all the cell phone things popped out.
I really wanted them to be. Also, the main villain, I'm not really sure I should call him a villain, his target.
Antagonist?
Yeah, Theon Greyjoy.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
So.
He has a dick again. Does John Wick fix that problem?
No.
Ah.
No, he doesn't. Also, it does a lot of, like, a lot of people speak Russian in it, and it does, like, a subtitle thing, but it's, like, in comic font, and it, like...
They use Comic Sans?
No. It's not Comic Sans. It's, like, Sin City-style comic font.
Huh.
But it, like, bolds some words and, like, colorizes others. It's actually really cool. It's a good movie. Not the best movie I've ever seen or anything, but it's pretty good.
If it colorizes it, it's not in,
Sin City format, because Sin City doesn't believe in color.
That is true. So, I don't know, John Wick, it's a game. Movie. No, it's basically just a game. It's basically just like watching John Wick from the game go around doing a mission. So...
Did you play any video games or just watch a movie?
I played a fair amount of Smash still, so...
I'm super excited for that to come out in...
Like, several minutes?
2 hours. 125 minutes.
That's, my competitive play has definitely gotten a lot better than it used to be, so... I'm... arguably getting better at the game, which is nice. I feel like I played something else. I don't know. A little bit of Phoenix Wright. I'm almost done with the second case, finally. You know what I haven't finished yet? Grandia.
I'm not surprised.
I haven't even opened it since that last time that I played it, like a month ago, so.
But you're keeping us up daily, which is what's important.
Yeah! Zach, what has Jeremy been playing?
I don't know. What has Jeremy been playing?
Jeremy has been playing 2 video games, which seems like a lot with how few he's been playing the rest of time, but... Is not? I guess 3. I went back to Kingdom of Loathing, did mostly some bookkeeping type stuff with my character.
I forgot you ever stopped. I just thought you stopped updating people on what you were doing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I've been half playing Kingdom of Loathing. It doesn't really feel like I'm playing, but sometimes I go there and farm tattered scraps of paper to sell to people.
The whole having a full-time job thing really cuts into your enthusiasm for doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I started Wind Waker for like the 5th time, and I've gotten as far as I've ever gotten. Which is to say, I'm in the town where you need to get the sail for the King of Red Lions.
Oh, man. That takes like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
No, it's not, but it's as far as I've ever gotten.
I've gotten far than that.
Wait, have you never beaten Wind Waker?
No, I've never gotten to the part where you go to the town to get the sail for the King of Red Lions.
Wow. Wow.
I've never beaten Wind Waker, but that's because I got to the point where, like, yeah, the Triforce is broken into, like, 50 parts. Go fishing.
They actually, in the remake, they actually made that fewer parts because people were like, this sucks, and they're like, yeah, we can give you fewer parts.
I've also never beaten Wind Waker.
What? Have you ever beaten any Zelda game? Ever?
Hell no!
Okay, how far are you in Ocarina?
Where was I last time?
I don't know, like Jabu Jabu's belly?
No, not even there.
I think I just got into the water people area. I'm there.
Almost Jabu Jabu's belly, so you haven't tried to feed him a fish and gotten absorbed.
I've been doing other things, but we're not talking about what I'm doing. We're talking about what Jeremy's doing.
Wind Waker has just never absorbed me, and it finally did this time. I don't know why. I just got really into it. Like, there's this song when you go into a person's house in the Zelda 3D games that I would have never told you how it went. I couldn't have told you if you asked. I wouldn't have been in my head.
Yeah,
but for some reason, hearing
like.
It like really got me in the spirit and the mood.
Huh. That's an odd thing, but
yeah.
Hey, brains.
Yeah. And maybe the remake reduced some of the getting your sword and saving Tetra at the beginning stuff, because I could never get past that. It just seemed too boring, but it went super, super quick. There's not much to it.
No, there's really not. I don't feel like the remake changed anything. They also added one of the things you could buy at the auction house is a, like, 3x or 10x speed sail.
Yeah.
Which helps.
Well, I haven't even gotten to the part where you sail.
But you're going to have sweet boat adventures.
I am. Well, except then I started editing the episode on Nobunaga's Ambition, and I was like, hey, actually, doesn't Bandai own Gundam? I should check and make sure that Bandai didn't make Garen's Greed instead of Koei. And I checked, and I'm like, oh yeah, no, I was wrong about that. I'm like, I should play some of that. Huh, my PlayStation, totally not an emulator, isn't really working. Let's see if how far PSP emulation has come. Oh, this is super easy. I'm going to play the PSP Garen's Greed. Where did my week go?
Nice. Is the PSP Garen's Greed in English?
No. They're,
okay.
It didn't come over here in any forms, which is a shame.
There are actually 2 PSP Garen's Greed. One is a remake of the one I played, and the one that came out later is a remake of the first one.
Huh.
The first one has interesting gameplay stuff, but it's just not as deep a game and doesn't go as far. And they clearly were trying to milk people with DLC that they never actually made.
Wow, that's painful.
But the PSP one that came out in 2005, which, if you're curious, is called The Menace of Axis. So good. It's weird because it's basically a remake of the PlayStation 1 to the point where they use all of the same graphics for the tactical map.
Huh.
It's one of those things where the graphics look as good as I remember instead of good as they actually were, which is kind of nice. And they have over 400 mobile suits plus other units,
wow.
15 factions.
Dang, that's a lot.
So there aren't any fan translations of this?
Because there are 400 mobile suits, 15 factions.
Oh, no, I could see that happening.
People have tried, but they always give up pretty quickly in.
There's just so much text. Oh, no. I kind of want to do it now.
I do, too. Dude, we can team up.
I have a rudimentary knowledge of Japanese.
And I know enough about Gundam that I can, like, say, no, that's a character's name, not the word fire.
Tyler, you also have access to a Japanese-to-English dictionary. I'm sure you can figure it out.
I have one of those. I also have the internet.
The problem is the characters, and it's not like you can copy from a game and paste it into Translate.
Yeah, because then that guy named Hiroshin is going to be like, Google's like, oh no, that's like a tree bush or something.
So, for those of you who haven't heard me talk about it, Garen's Greed is a game based on Gundam and Nobunaga's Ambition. It's much simpler. In fact, the entirety of the learning curve is learning how to play it because it's not in English, where you get mobile suits, you have a tech tree, you research new mobile suits, you start, depending on your faction, if you're the Earth Federation, you start with no mobile suits, and then you research the gun tank, which lets you research the gun cannon, and then the Gundam, and then the gym, and then a bunch of offshoot gyms.
So there are like 15 factions. What are all the factions?
I'm more curious as to what the mobile suits are. I thought there were only like 5.
I played a grid-based Gundam strategy
yeah,
game.
Yeah, I played that on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I played that one too.
Where, like, when you get into combat, you actually can control one of the suits.
Yeah.
The Psycho is broken, but, I mean, it's the Psycho, so.
Psycho is broken in this, too. The Psycho 2 is more broken.
Can you unlock the ability to drop a colony on things? Because that's
the best part
of any Gundam series.
You don't really unlock it. Only certain factions can do it, and you need to have your alignment to be at -900.
So,
man,
but
I
you can.
The Gundam series, because I miss figuring out when that colony drop is coming.
Also, colony laser. You can just take that instead. Or you can build the solar array and use that.
But you can drop a solar array?
No, you build the solar array, which like is a giant series of mirrors that takes in the sun and you reflect it at something.
Like that one Bond villain?
Yeah.
Like a small child fighting an ant.
Yes. There's lots of cool stuff. Or you can just build a whole bunch of Psycho Gundams and laugh maniacally.
And then be psychotic.
Yeah. Most of the factions are just offshoots or like sort of what-if factions. Like the starting ones are the Earth Federation and Zeon for the 1-year war. And then the Titans, the Anti-Earth Union group, and Axis for the GURPS conflict, which is what happens in Zeta Gundam. And if you beat the 1-year war, you can advance to the GURPS conflict with your current faction.
Oh, so they included the Zeta Gundam and all that in there as well.
The PlayStation 1 stuff had it too, but you couldn't start as the Zeta Gundam stuff, and in this one you can.
So I'm sitting here going, how the heck are you able to get all these things? Because the 1-year war didn't have any of that stuff.
Most of the factions are like, what if factions for the 1-year war? Like there's one with, what if Garmazabi survived and rebelled against Zeon after his brother started being a huge dick and the war was a three-way? Or what if Char never chased the White Base so the Earth Federation got mobile suits way faster? Since they were in a stalemate and Char wanted revenge on Zeon, he convinced all the new types to come start their own new Zeon with him.
That sounds awesome. You play that faction.
That's a pretty good one. Or then things like Char leading the Anti-Earth Union group instead of Blex, which is semi-canonical. He was leading it for a while. Or Glemmy leading Axis, which he also did for a little while.
I'm realizing I need to watch a lot more Gundam.
I mean, Zeta Gundam is good, but it's also terrible. But it's also free on YouTube, and as a thing you can watch for free. I really like the plot of Zeta Gundam, but the characters are really weak and it's really sexist in a way that's kind of uncomfortable. Also, it ends like Empire Strikes Back, only without a Return of the Jedi after.
Better or worse than Destiny?
Oh, so much better than Destiny. Despite Destiny's main inspiration being Zeta Gundam.
That's not a high bar to jump.
I've actually only seen three Gundam series in their completion.
Which ones? Out
Gundam
of curiosity.
Wing, 08 MS Team, and the original Gundam.
Okay.
Well, if you want to watch Seed, I can actually loan that
I've
to
seen
you.
None. I think the most I've seen of is 08 MS Team.
So not a great spread. 08 is pretty good. Original isn't bad, but it's also very 1979.
Yeah, it is.
Wing is probably better in your memory.
No, I've watched it fairly recently. I still like it.
Wing isn't
I
bad.
Really
it's
don't.
Not great, but
I really like how they have all the Gundams that have
the Zero system theme. Is super interesting, and like that's the only thing I think is
but
cool out of Wing. I feel like all the cool stuff happens when the narrator is like, and then a bunch of cool stuff happened, and we're not going to show it to you, but take our word for it. There were politics and backstabbing, and now everyone's over here.
Also, I really kind of like Katra and the fact that, you know, everything's his fault, including the lack of air and space.
Yes. No, I love that. Katra's cool.
And also Gundam Sandrock. It's pretty awesome. And he's got just like a bunch of Middle Eastern guys following him around with trucks, and it's awesome.
So, and he's implied to be a new type at the end, which is why he can keep up with Dorothy and the Zero system. That's cool. But
has anyone other than me played Endless Duel?
Yes.
So Katra is super in that. Is he just summons his mercenary force to just shoot the crap out of your opponent, and it just lasts for like 30 seconds of guys shooting your opponent.
See, I just play Heavy Arms, and I do that myself.
Heavy Arms is less good at that in Endless Duel. I mean, he's still Heavy Arms, but he doesn't have like the invent or the unblockable
heavy
chest
arms
rocket.
Is so dinky in the Dynasty Warriors Gundam 3. Like, Heavy Arms, Death Scythe, and Wing Zero, they're all just dinky when put up next to the other ones.
All actually the Wing Gundams are at much smaller scale than most of their mobile suits. Like, watch the Death Battle where the Epion fights the White Tiger Zord and is like a third of its size.
Wait, the White Tiger Zord?
Yeah, it's the White Ranger's Zord. It's a tiger that transforms into a guy that punches people. It has a fireball mouth.
And it's distinct from his talking White Tiger knife.
Yeah, Saba.
Wait, his knife has a name?
Saba, it's sentient.
Clearly, I haven't watched enough Power Rangers. So.
Clearly, you've watched sufficient Power Rangers, because you don't know all this.
Well, the White Ranger was pretty much a cool...
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, playing that, I'm at turn 20.
Not super far, then. How long does a turn take?
Half an hour to an hour, depending.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. That explains where your week went.
Yeah.
Is there a Gundam plug-in for Crusader Kings?
I mean, plug-in and screen,
sounds awesome.
I would be surprised if there weren't.
I mean, all the political plots in Gundam would be a lot easier to do in English. That's like the one problem with playing it in Japanese is I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure what's happening is Matilda is asking me if she can go resupply the white base, which I want because then they can beat Ramba Rall. Hopefully she's not asking me if the white base should be disbanded. Okay, I was right. So yeah, I just got total control of Earth back from Zeon.
Well done.
Sounds like it's time for somebody to get a colony dropped on.
The first thing I did was establish control of Earth's atmosphere, so as to not allow that to happen.
Technically, the
and then blockade it.
In the
no, but they have to get there in the game to like drop on you. And I've established a blockade, so if they try it, I can begin bombardment.
So you've got three-dimensional blockade.
It's on like a risk map.
Okay, blockading space is a losing proposition.
Well, yes, but I have a wide enough net that I can quickly get to wherever I need to be. It's not like I have a giant wall of ships that are just going to shoot anything. I just have enough sentries that they can be like, hey, something's coming.
Well, yeah,
send all the battleships that way.
Blockading in space works differently than blockading on Earth. Because blockading on Earth, that's a really big section of ships sitting outside the harbor. In space, there's one guy sitting in the location going, hey, guys, something's coming. Bring all the ships over here.
Somebody want to tell that to George Lucas?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. To be fair, they're blockading a planet, right? Which is more doable.
Ish.
Depends on, like, when you're on a multi-planet economy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
true.
That doesn't make episode one better. So I just got control of Earth, and I've just started developing gym spinoffs, like the gym cannon and
the gym sniper rifle.
I don't have the gym sniper yet.
So do you have the boulder bag?
No. So I'm in the part where I have to sell all my bombers and scrap them because they're useless in space and start getting space mobile suits instead of like the 200 bombers I have that I just bombed the Earth to take from Zeon.
I've got to now claim claim dominion over this charred husk of a planet.
Also, this
victory.
Also, this game added difficulties, and I was like, it's been a while. I'll play on very easy. Which gives you everyone's best mobile suit at the start.
Oh, wow.
So, like, Shira Armada's sitting in the Easy 8 in space where it doesn't work at the beginning. And that's why I had to take over the atmosphere to get him onto the planet. And I have some Jim Kais, which are from after the 1 year war.
So, I don't actually know what the Easy 8 is.
It's a modified ground combat Gundam used by Shira Armada, the leader of the 08th MS team. Has a Gatling gun chest and a beam rifle.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I know that one.
But is otherwise a ground combat gun.
Okay.
I'm probably going to kill Zeon before any of that happens in this campaign, but we'll see.
Any of the 08th MS team stuff happens?
Yeah. Which is for the best, because you either sacrifice Shiro or Zeon gets the Apolis and it starts in Jaburo and they can mass produce it.
That would kind of suck.
And Jaburo is your main base that if you lose it, you lose.
Ooh.
Which is defendable. I have lots of bombers and ground combat Gundams that I can't send up into space to
that are
defend
just sitting
with,
there.
Or they get remodeled in the gyms. Whichever. So anyway, that's what I've been playing. Zach, what have you been playing?
I've actually been playing quite a lot. I've played a little bit of Civ 5 still, going with my... Turned out I'm playing the Shoshone Indians.
Oh, the Shoshone. Gotcha.
But yes, I'm playing as them. It's kind of a little bit more of a pain this time because I'm on an islands map and everybody's far enough away from me that I really can't go raffle stomp somebody's teeth in.
I actually really like islands map island maps in Civ.
I usually like having some kind of continent and then taking it over from multiple people.
Nah. Overseas colonies. That's where it's at.
I like continents so I can like take over mine and then navally blockade the other one with George Lucas.
I have like... Well, I took over one from the Chinese. Like, there's me and then, like, two of these little states that I don't want to eliminate because I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. And then I have this one little island that I've taken over that's on, like, the far side of the map from me. There's nothing on it but gold.
So are you going to liberate it and make it, like, an overseas colony at some point?
It's already mine. There's no one else on it. It's like, I have, like, Hawaii, okay? That's, like, the size of this thing.
In Civ 4, occasionally you can make a... places that are far enough away from your capital, like their own independently ruled nations.
Yeah, but that's a really bad mechanic that it's better to just become communist and then you get all the benefits without having to give up your cities.
If I wanted to, I could take over places and then make them remote states, basically, and they'd govern themselves, but the count is mine.
Yeah, you get puppet states instead of colonies in Civ 5.
Oh, okay.
I usually just say, no, I'm taking this and building a courthouse, so screw you. Your identity has been subsumed into the Shoshone.
They're wearing your blue jeans.
Shoshone blue jeans.
They're being forced to wear my blue jeans. Now they like wearing my blue jeans because they've been part of my empire for 1,000 years. On Sunday, I played a lot of League of Legends because, hey, it's me. I play League of Legends, remember? They added the new map. Me and Kevin and Cody were playing a lot on that. We won like 6 out of the 9 games we played. And of those games, I was on a lower tier AD carry winning games all the time. After that, like this week, Dragon Age Inquisition released.
Did anyone expect that?
A lot of people seem to expect your Inquisition showing up. It's odd. Well, I think the reason no one expects the Spanish Inquisition is because everybody who expects the Inquisition is in this game.
They just sucked them out of an alternate universe so that they could expect the Inquisition
here. I have done very little. Because I have spent the majority of it...
Playing Blitzball?
No.
Is Blitzball an Inquisition? Oh my god.
No, it is not. I've spent the majority of my time exploring, like, the hinterlands around Redcliff, because they've made them very big and open-ended, so you can explore these areas and just wander, like, I wonder what's over there. I'm going over there now.
This is not meant to be critical. This is meant to be genuine. Why is that more interesting than exploring Skyrim?
Why is
fewer there... mountains.
But he's fewer in the mountains. Hinterlands.
There are fewer mountains in my way from exploring things, and it is more accessible as an area. One of the other things that makes it handy is if I see like a building or a cave or something, I walk into the building or I walk into the cave and I don't have a loading screen.
Okay, lack of loading screens is a 1000% legitimate point. Because loading screens are bull crap.
It's also more interesting to look at than Skyrim. Because Skyrim had, I mean, good game, but it had, at least on the 360, loading issues or load times. Neither of these things are what I mean. I mean, like, texture pop-ins.
Oh, yeah. So, no, playing on my computer, none of that.
There was a lot more on the 360. It feels like there's less go here and do what I say. There's still some of that. People tell me to go over there and go find it. But for the most part, it's just a big area that I want to go find. I went... to one area because I have a strategy guide for it because I'm that kind of person. I went to one area specifically because I wanted to encounter the monster that was there, found it, went, yep, my level 6 cannot kill this thing, and immediately ran away.
Like a legitimate paper strategy guide?
Is it as big as the Skyrim tome of beating people to death?
It's not that big.
Plus one?
But yes, I have a the collector's edition strategy guide, so it's actually hardback.
I thought the internet made those go the way of the dinosaurs.
No,
you know,
no.
Crusted small piles of carbon that can be burned for fuel.
The Skyrim one is like big enough for a bonfire.
The Skyrim one, which I also own, is big enough to squish a small dog.
Yeah, that seems about
right.
Dropped
on it.
There's so much. I dumped probably close, all said and done, like 200 hours into that game. I probably didn't even complete like a third of it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I got to the first guy. He gives me some quests. I wander off, steal some of his books, and then got bored.
Yeah, I got out of this cave that, like, I was escaping or something because there was a dragon, and then I got bored, and I went to play another game.
Aww. Coincidentally, that was the critter that kicked the crap out of me that I went and found. It was the dragon that's in the area, which looked really, really cool because the whole game looks really, really cool.
That's always a good thing.
I'm
what
playing
what
a
type
rogue.
Of, I was just about to ask.
Type of rogue are you?
Are you a smarmy rogue or a stabby rogue?
I'm a stabby rogue. I was debating going with a bow rogue, but I decided to build the stabby rogue because...
What would you call that, a bogue?
Yeah, it's a bogue, generally.
I feel like a bow rogue would be weak to wizards.
No, not really.
I mean, it's not a wizard, so...
Well, but I mean, I feel like a wizard would be able to make a bow rogue not be able to pass.
No, but he's the bogeyman.
One of the things that I really enjoy that they did with this game is the plot of the game, like the major starting point, is not there is a war going on. There is.
But we don't care about that war.
It started in two. But I mean, like, the get these two sides together to talk, which you would think would be the point of the game, is not. That happens before you get started and then blows up.
So, like, your diplomatic relations have failed, man.
When you click on start new game, the title screen is people marching to this conclave to meet to end this war. You click start new game, it blows up.
Like, literally?
Yes.
Okay, so.
So they put an entire game's worth of plot in the loading screen?
Yes. And then they decide, and then they went around and did it again. And another game. It's not so much that there's an entire game's worth of plot in the loading screen. That's just, here's the starting point for this other plot, and now there's a massive problem that your character has to deal with.
You know, I really want all games made by BioWare to have those expressionless aliens in them now, regardless of context.
Oh yeah, just the expressionless dwarf clad. Boredly mining for iron. Excitedly discovered adamantium. Eagerly foraging sword. Hoping your sword will help you in the quest to save the world. Fighting the, like, 50,000th darkspawn. Oh, my God.
They actually
tell me that wouldn't be an excellent mod for Dwarf Fortress, though.
I mean, it already practically has it.
Who are you inquiring about?
Well, you are trying to figure out who blew up the conclave. Like, that is your job. Find out who blew the place up and then seal the big-ass rift to the fate that it opened up.
Fair enough. I learned recently that Iron Maidens were never actually used as a torture device.
What were they used as? Decoration?
Oh, no, they're actually a novelty in circuses. They were invented as a torture device, but they were never actually used.
I mean, so, it seems very ineffective at getting information out of people.
Oh,
since
yeah.
They'll be pretty dead.
Yeah.
But
they won't be a llama
time.
When you're done with them with that.
No, they're invented largely after torture devices of that variety were no longer used, and people were like, look at what those people used to use, and because we didn't have the internet, everyone believed them.
Or even encyclopedias.
Oh yeah, that is true. This was like the early 1800s when they were invented.
So anyway, does Dragon Age Inquisition have a princess?
Or Iron Maidens? Does it have the band Iron Maiden?
I have not encountered them yet, but I've heard stories.
I feel like it would do a lot of running for the hills in that game, so.
I'm trying to think if I have encountered any princesses as of yet, and I do not think I have.
Why princesses?
Because King's Quest is a game that starts when a princess is kidnapped, and four heroes have to band together to save her. It's not in the loading screen, it's in the instruction book.
Is Bar USA a hero?
Yes.
Okay.
He's the monster hero. You know, you're sitting around, you're playing D&D, someone's the wizard, someone's the fighter, someone's the kid thief.
And someone's the monster, clearly, yeah. Because I let Ed play the damn chain demon.
This is what happens when you let people just say, it's published by Wizards of the Coast, it must be balanced.
Also, they don't have a healer, which is probably why this game is so hard.
Yeah, you need a healer. Every party needs a healer.
You can just pick up the random health in the walls.
That is true, because wall health. It's like wall turkey, but not quite as delicious. Although it also has wall anti-health, so...
Wall poison?
Wall poison.
Wall down arrows.
Asbestos. It has asbestos.
Despite being a fantasy game where you're a knight with a
published
sword.
Published by Squaresoft.
Published, not developed by.
Oh, okay.
And they only published it in the U.S. But it's also the first game they published in the U.S., so maybe
wow.
Not the best to start off.
How did they?
On.
So this
oh,
was
that explains
one of those
like
games
Final.
They produced before they went bankrupt and needed to make Final Fantasy.
That
and
no,
it
this ex-
all makes
this
sense.
Explains why they needed to make Final Fantasy because they made crap like this.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all coming together.
Okay. So even though you're a knight, this is a top-down shooter. You shoot fire out of your face.
What are just the enemies? Holds the sword, doesn't he? He holds the sword and shield and walks at people and then like spits fire.
Hey, if it's good enough for Link, it's good enough for Rayjack.
But he doesn't swing his sword to
oh,
do it.
Oh, that's right. The knight's name is Rayjack. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with one of the great things about Legend of Zelda is the physicality of it. Even on the NES, when you swing your sword, Link physically takes out the sword, swings it in an arc, and any enemy he hits is not only sound affected, not only blinks, but is physically shoved back by it.
Or if you didn't do damage, you get shoved back. It's actually a really cool effect I never even thought about.
It's incredible economy of gameplay. This game, you just shoot face lasers walking forward in a stiff animation. What are even the enemies? I literally can't remember. Are they like bats? Are they?
Yeah, I have
cobras?
No idea.
Yeah, they're cobras.
Yeah, I remember when you destroy terrain, cobras can come out at
they're
you.
They're like maggots who sit on top of rocks and like shoot.
I don't know. I just.
The
ogres?
There's yetis.
Zach, I know you don't like Zelda. Can you, not name by name, but describe three enemies in Zelda? The first one?
Yeah, the bouncing guys, that guy that popped out of the river, and then the, like, spear chuckers or arrow guys.
Okay, yeah.
Moblins?
That took you, like, no time. Can you describe three enemies in this game?
Having
just been told
wait,
about three enemies
I have
in this
one.
Game.
Barusa. Fights like human, like just regular villagers who shoot things at him, which is hilarious.
I
thought they were like giant ape things, like Sasquatch.
I would believe that, but it's hard to tell with these pixels.
Well, the thing is, you can't really pay attention to the enemies themselves because you have to dodge their projectiles. And well, since you move so slowly, getting out of the way of those projectiles, you have to see them coming from a long way off.
Slow down, because I want to get up to that, and that is terrible. But
Toby fights scorpions.
Again, let's pull back here and start at the start. Because what I was trying to get at is the animation in this game is just so stiff in my mind. And I mean, it's an NES game. That's not too surprising. But it just really feels it to me.
Well, so you only have like three.
Really.
Yeah, I didn't even notice the game.
I
kind of zoned out on the character because I do that in almost all shooters and focus more on the motion that was the enemies. So
yeah.
That wasn't much of a problem for me. My biggest problem is that there's a lot going on the screen at any one time, but it's not all. It takes a while to get used to the fact that the background is there and that you can interact with it.
So you start, you press start, and suddenly Rayjack is on the screen. Valiant Knight of Princess Saving. And you have to laser face your way to somewhere.
And I think he has the most difficult level.
Maybe. It's a top-down shooter.
I got the furthest in his.
You move around trying to dodge enemies and their blasts and shoot them. There's also destructible terrain, which is kind of interesting.
And in fact, you have to destroy the terrain in order to find the secret dungeons.
And they have power-ups in them, most of which are health downs, which are just a down arrow. Again, Castlevania gets a lot of flack for using hearts, the international symbol for health, along with red crosses, as ammo. But, like, up and down arrows are terrible.
I thought they did something else. Like, I thought they were like a down power for the enemies, or I didn't think they affected me until I realized I stepped on two of them and went, where'd my health bar go?
It took me a long time to realize that any of the other power-ups did anything. The only power-up I could immediately identify as actually having effect was the one that I stepped on and lost health.
Like, the up one I noticed too, but that's also an obvious one. There's like the stair that I still don't know what it does.
That powers up your jump.
Okay. There's a speed power-up, but you move so slowly and the speed power-up is barely noticeable.
That is true.
That's what I think this game's biggest problem is. Gradius is really a game about reflexes. You're trying to dodge all the enemies which are all over the place while returning fire. But you move quickly to start with, and you get much faster with speed-ups, almost to the point where your thing is, do I want another speed-up?
Because
then
might be
I
too
risk,
fast.
Yeah, then I risk losing control and hitting a wall. This game, you move so slowly, it's almost impossible to dodge the fire.
I might lose control, or I might risk losing control and continuing to walk into walls.
Yeah, and the other thing is, there's so much terrain to destroy, which is cool, but it gives you almost no space to dodge it. And what? The enemies in gameplay aren't interesting anyway.
Well, it gives you so much stuff that you have to destroy, you limit the room to dodge. It also means that while you're destroying terrain to move forward, and because it's a scrolling screen, you can get trapped behind it and killed that way, you're still taking fire from the enemies while you're trying to destroy terrain to advance, on top of what I think Tyler alluded to, or yeah, I don't remember which one he did it, where scorpions or whatever, serpents
wall
or
cobras.
Wall cobras pop out of there. So now you gotta fight them and destroy the terrain, dodge the health down. There's just too much crap going on at
the
once.
The other thing is there's so many health downs, a lot of times you'll destroy a column of rocks to go through, and they'll all be health down. So you're like, well, I guess I can't go that way. Better try to destroy this next column really quickly.
And
more health downs!
I found that if you got a couple of the jump power-ups, you could very easily get on top of the terrain. So I feel like this has a problem where your base stats are too weak to play the game effectively.
The point of the game, though, is to explore dungeons and get pieces of element from dungeon to power up your hero to do hero things.
If you start too weak to play, why are we starting at the point where we're too weak to continue?
Because you're a level 1 D&D adventurer.
Yeah, or shouldn't, if you are too weak to play, shouldn't the gameplay reflect that? Shouldn't you start out as like a farm boy and have like farm boy chores as the game until you get your sword?
So, haystack cobras is what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying, I think it's okay for a game to be hard, and I think starting off weak, like in Morrowind, makes you feel genuinely strong when you get there. But this game is so hard to progress in, and it's not interesting. It's not interesting when you're weak or when you're powerful.
I was going to say that I didn't find it particularly hard, just boring.
I think from a game design perspective, though, they had a lot of interesting ideas. They just messed up the core gameplay so badly that...
Why would this be a shooter?
The way this game is originally presented, you know, King's Knight, that's the title of the game. It feels like it should be something along the same lines as Final Fantasy or something. You have a party. They even have them. There are four characters. That is a party of guys right there. Put them together and have them go through dungeons as a unit. And, you know, RPG mechanics. Don't make it a shooter. You're just reskinning a shooter and making core
Bar
mechanics.
USA is overpowered.
I just figured out why this game sucks. They broke the first rule of D&D. Don't split the party.
Well, there's that.
Although, it's actually like the backstories because the fifth level is they're all united, so they apparently met at a tavern after face lasering their way through things.
So there's a very basic mechanic we haven't talked about yet, which is when you die or somehow beat the level, which you don't. So when you die, you don't have lives, you don't get a game over, instead you play the next character, who has a different level. Which is interesting, like I said, from a design standpoint, I appreciate it. It's sort of got the Mega Man, oh man, I couldn't beat Wood Man, let's try Metal Man.
Except you have no agency over it.
I think that's okay too.
Well, all it is doing is it's hiding your lives. You still have lives, you have four lives, you have Rayjack, the Wizard.
Except you start all the way over from the beginning every time.
But you reset, that's the problem. Well, you still have your lives. They're just hiding it by putting it, reskinning your level. That's all they're doing.
I disagree for two reasons. One, all the levels are different. You are playing a different level when you
die.
They
feel really a lot the same, though.
Well, that's because the game is boring, and you can't do anything interesting with it.
If you get far enough in the thief's level, at least, you get to the ocean where you have swimming.
Yeah,
all of them have ocean parts to them.
Okay, I got to the thief's ocean.
Yeah, I got far enough that in all of them that you get to swim at some point, and it's the worst.
It is.
Two, I think they could have given you lives on top of this, and that would be better. Yeah. I think it would even be better if you have three lives with Rayjack, you still cycle through like that.
I think if they had stuck in a Mega Man-style level select screen, that would really help. Because if you die with Rayjack, you could go right back in and try and attack that again.
Or say, you know, that's too hard. I'm going to go be Bar USA.
I mean, Mega Man is undoubtedly better, but I think this is okay. Also, you only get the fifth level if you beat all four levels. I don't know what happens if Rayjack dies and Bar USA, Kid Thief, and the Wizard make it through.
I imagine you probably don't have Rayjack, so.
So it might just be that fifth level.
Fifth level does not exist.
It's
a myth.
Conspiracy theorist.
Like... Yeah, well, unless you Game Sharked it.
I'm not even sure that these levels have an end.
I mean, that would be impressive for an NES game, right?
Well, yeah, but it could just, like, be randomly generated. That requires no information, basically, so.
But they're consistently randomly generated.
That is true. Hmm.
So, at the very least, they'd have to have a seed, and so.
Yep. No, I can't counter that. I don't know. I got really far in Rayjack's level once. I got through two dungeons killed two ghost phoenixes, and
Scott
didn't. I just didn't feel like I was progressing at all. I couldn't tell what my stats were. I didn't know how far in the level I was. It didn't even give me a body count, something to score. I feel like some sort of feedback would be nice.
This game does not tell you anything.
I even have a hard time telling when I get hit, even though it plays that horrible sound effect.
Did it? I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, it's like a... That's not what it sounds like.
I thought that was just the music. I must have been taking a lot of hits.
Man, this is a really killer beat.
Yeah, killer beat sounds like somebody trying to throw up.
Or it sounds like killer beat. Yo, foo, this rhyme be dope. Okay, yeah.
That wasn't a Rome.
Rome?
That wasn't a Rome.
That wasn't a Rome. You should go home, yo.
Anyway, King's Knight, not a very good game. Play Gradius instead.
I don't even feel like we described it very well, but I don't even know. Like,
it's a bad top-down shooter. It's like Gradius, but you're going vertically and really, really slowly, and there are cobras.
Yep, and there are cobras.
Well, you started the original Zelda game, and just the map immediately started to fall down the screen.
Yep, no, that's pretty accurate, actually. There's actually these, like, things that pop out of the ground that block your progress. You can't shoot or walk through them. There's
Oh, yeah, they're holes. I forgot about
holes. No, these aren't. They're shields that pop out of the ground that you can't go through. I only saw them on Rayjack's level, but I also got the furthest with Rayjack. There's one power-up that you can get that makes all the ones on screen pop up at once, because otherwise they don't show until you get close to them. But there's a maze that you have to run through that, unless you happen to find this power-up, you would totally die, because you can't... Like, the obvious path through the maze is not the way through. Anyway... Don't play this game, guys.
No, play Gradius, or what's a good fantasy game we've played?
Like Final Fantasy?
Legend of Zelda? Final Fantasy?
I mean, I had problems with Legend of Zelda, or I had problems with Final Fantasy, and you guys had problems with Legend of Zelda.
Ghosts and Goblins?
No. If you really want to play a fantasy game from this time, we're already talking about those.
That's true, I guess.
That other Final Fantasy, the other one we played that had the...
Two?
Was it two?
Yeah. That's a Super Nintendo game is the only reason I was DQing it. But anyway, not important. Don't play this. No matter what you do, don't play this.
Ghosts and Goblins?
Don't play that either.
I mean, I can see why you would play Ghosts and Goblins. I'd take Ghosts and Goblins over this.
Yeah,
another
I would
game
too.
I would take Ghosts and Goblins over.
Super Mario Wizards?
Oh, I would take that over almost anything. So, Zach, what are we playing next week?
Well... You know, I kind of want to play something that I don't have to focus all a lot on, but I'm going to go ahead and say we're going to play...
Objection!
are you going to be here next time, Ed?
I think I will.
Do you want to cut in?
I think I will.
No! What are you cutting in with?
I'm going to cut in with a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
A poke-apocalyptic wasteland?
Oh, that sounds cool.
Is it Fall Pikachu out? Is it Volt out?
Pokemon. Pokemon never changes. We're going to play Fall.
All right,
okay.
Cool.
Next time on Last Time, get your Fallout shelters ready and your Liam Neesons.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com or tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, @lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And the best one, Zach, @lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus, lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are @LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.
Dueling Analogs posted a comic. Okay, never mind. That's a non sequitur.
Good start to a story, bro.
Yeah,